This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
The word of the Lord, heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Lord, we do recognize that it was because of you that we have made it and that we are making it. For that we say thank you. Now, Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today concerning your word. Open up your word to us as we open up our hearts to you, to hear you, to heed you. And, oh God, to have what you have spoken to us according to this word realized in our lives for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Verse 4, "according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Verse 5, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of his children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mysteries of his will," of his will, "according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." I want you to look back at verse 4, and here's where our thought is coming from. Well, the word says, "according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. Today I just want to talk about chosen to holiness. Chosen to holiness. Now listen at this. It's important for us to recognize that even though we are saved, there is a conversion that must take place. It is much to do with the fact that God has done for us, and not so much that we have done for ourselves. The place of holiness requires a process to perfection. The place of holiness. We have been positionally made holy because of Jesus Christ. But there is a place of holiness that he desires every believer to ultimately end up in and live life through. And that is the point and the place for which and out of which this word comes to encourage the believers to move to that place of holiness that God has called us to. One of the things that prevents us, first and foremost, from being holy is the fact that many of us are not whole. See, you can't be holy without being whole. And if you're not whole, it suggests something is missing somewhere. And too often times we don't recognize the enemy's plot and plans to keep us from feeling the void underneath the skin, to keep us from entering into that place where we know the will of God and we operate in the will of God, because God's plans are always far better than our plans, are far better certainly than what the enemy has plotted against us. One of the things that I need you to see that Paul says to the church at Ephesus is, and it's important for the believer to recognize this today, is he starts off in verse 3 by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now look at what he says he has done. "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, one of the things you need to be clear about, my brothers and sisters, is if you belong to Jesus Christ, God has provided for you every spiritual blessing that you need to be successful, both in the sacred things and in the secular things. One of the things you need to know is your source is in heaven. It is not visible to the naked eye. It is not the power seen by the natural world. It is the reality of the spirit world. And you must understand that you are not void of anything as it relates to all that God has promised, provided, and prepared for you if you know how to access it through Christ Jesus. Listen again to what this word says now, because this is important. "Who hath blessed us," blessed, past tense. We have already got what we need. The enemy don't want you to know that, because if you know that you've already got it, then your only problem is learning how to access it then. But if you don't even know you've got it, then you won't even worry about trying to access it, because you don't even think that it's available. And so the word has already said, again, I want to read that, "Who hath blessed us." Touch your neighbor and say, "I'm already blessed." Now touch your other neighbor and say, "I'm already blessed." Now say it to yourself, "Self, I'm already blessed." Now, the only reason why I want you to recognize that is because when you begin to see yourself the way God sees you and understand what God has provided for you and prepared for you, then you will be learning, again, the principles of how to operate on spiritual levels and kingdom principles, and learn how to walk in the things of God and to be able to bring to fruition and manifestations the blessings of God in the natural realm. Listen again to what he says. Verse 4, "According as he hath chosen us." Now listen at this. You need to realize, I don't care who you are, what you are, where you are, God has chosen you. You may not yet be perfect. You may not yet be holy to the point of perfection. You may not yet be all God's called you to be, or you might not yet be doing all God's called you to do. But one thing you know without a shadow of a doubt is you've been chosen. Now, when you look at that, when the devil tries to show you pictures of your past, pictures of your imperfections, pictures of your weaknesses and inadequacies, your fractures and your frustrations and your failures, you might have to agree with them that they are real. But you don't stop at that being real. You got to remember that you, in spite of those things, have been chosen. Now, can I tell you, God don't choose trash. Nor does he produce trash. But there may be trash in your life, but there is a purpose for you recognizing why he wants you to be holy, because it's time to take the trash out. You ain't hearing me yet. Trash doesn't belong in holy things. And holy things don't like trash hanging around. Y'all ought to hear me here. Listen at this word, because as we become closely and intimately connected again with who we are as God would desire us to see us and know ourselves. We then become elevated in that place that God wants us to see ourselves, not hung up on our own egos, not caught up on our own selves, but caught up on the spiritual realities of who God has called us to be, what God has called us from, and how God desires us to function and flow both in this earth realm and in the spirit realm. See, the devil can't do a lot of things to you that he does to you if your self-esteem were where it ought to be in God. See, the devil do things to you because you don't think you all of that. And all of that ain't got nothing to do with what you got on, what you got in a bank account, what kind of job or education you got, where you live, and who you know. What that plays in this reality has nothing to do with that reality. It has all to do with knowing who you are in God. In God. Listen at this word again. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God had a plan for us even before the foundation of the world was ever brought to pass. God had a plan for us. See, when you were chosen, you need to know that you were chosen even before you were ever brought to a point of sin or sorrow or sickness or troubles or trials or tribulations or any of those things. You were chosen to be holy by God. God had a plan for mankind before man ever came on the scene. God knew man's problems. God knew man's situation. God knew men's heart. And he knew that they would fall and they would fall short of what he had set as a place for them to reside in, a place of paradise, a place of fellowship, a place of intimacy with him. He knew that they would sin and fall. And so even in knowing that before he created them, he created a backup plan. That's why you don't have to worry about God's got your back. God's got you. God knows you better than you know yourself. And I know sometimes we set our goals to walk holy before God, but every now and then we get tripped and we slip and we fall. But thanks be to God, he's got a backup plan. Touch your neighbor and say, God's got a backup plan. And listen at this. The reason I know he's got a backup plan is because you wouldn't even be here today if he didn't. If he had not placed you in a place of mercy and grace, you would not be here today. So I want you to see this, because when we begin to recognize this thing, this is what God did before the foundation of the world, that everybody who would come in the new Adam, Jesus Christ, should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's turn to John 3:16 right quick and read through a few verses, because here's where you need to see his plan of love. Look again. Very familiar verse. We start off in 16, but when we read all the way through 20, it is not as clear as verse 16 to many of us. Verse 16 of John 3 says, "For God so loved the world." See, remember, this plan was in love. So what he planned for you obviously was planned out of love. Now listen at this. That he gave. Whenever you love, you can't help giving. Somebody say, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. That he gave his only begotten son the best that he had. Listen at this. That whosoever, that's me and you, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if they're going to have everlasting life, this is the backup plan now, because the original plan was that they would live everlastingly. The original plan was that they would live with him forever. The original plan was that if man did not sin, he, as God's chiefest creation in the earth realm, would live out his existence eternally here. But man messed up. And so now God has a backup plan to put him back in the original state of being with God eternally, everlastingly. Look again, verse 16, 17 says, "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world." Listen at this. "But that the world through him might be saved." He didn't have to send his son to condemn the world, because listen at this. The world was already condemned. All right. You see, what I love about the Lord is when you're down, he don't come in and beat you down further like a whole lot of folk do. He's not into that. He didn't have to send his son to beat down the world who was already beat down. He sent the son down to the world to pick the world up and give the world another opportunity. Look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now listen to this. All you need to do is to be condemned is not believe in Jesus. You don't have to do anything else. You are already condemned. He has come to take you out of that condemned state. And so if you don't accept him, then things go on as planned. Look again, I want you to see this. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Listen at this. You know, when you don't want to do right, you don't want to be in the light. Because the light, listen at this, not only allows others to see you, but it lets you see yourself. And the reason why folk like to do their dirt in the dark, it's because the truth of the matter is they really don't want to see it themselves. But it's their nature that makes them do that. That nature that is unlike God. And so it is in that reality that they don't want to see light, because light reveals to them it is wrong. Now listen to this. This is a process that we are working through. But we ought to be able to make some progress, see some progress. Sometimes you can't be in the Lord all your life and can't see where you have grown from one place to another place. You can't be in God all your life and can't see how you are cutting things away and releasing things and moving to new places in God. Something is wrong if you can't transition from where you are to where God wants you to be. Look at verse 20. It says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. When you do evil, you don't want the light, the revelation, the illumination to shine or to come on you, because it breaks up your party. See, you don't want to be in the limelight when you're doing stuff that's not right. Listen at this. It says, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They don't like the light, nor do they move toward the light. You need to watch folk who always want to sit in the dark. It may bespeak something far deeper than you're able to recognize. Something's wrong with folk who always want to hang out where it's dark at and don't like the, turn the light off. Why? Why do you always want to be in darkness? Because it gives many times the opportunity for the enemy to cultivate things in the consciousness. And so the light, they don't come to the light, don't want the light to come to them, because their deeds are evil. Can't get it together in the light. And so when you begin to recognize this, I want you to see something else. That we should be holy and conjunction without blame. Listen at this. Before him in love. That's going back to Ephesians 1. Now look at this, because I want you to see something. When we look at this word again, and I'm not through with verse 4 again, because it says that what he did for us, he did it before we ever messed up. Now it's one thing to mess up and know that you've messed up, but it's another thing for you to know that you've messed up and then know that in spite of your mess up, God still loves you and still desires you. Now listen at this, because again, according as he hath chosen us. That's the operative word. That is the power of this verse, that he has chosen us. The reason why he even puts up with us is because he chose us. And I need you to know, unlike us, he knew us before there was a us. So it was never ever any pretentious reality of his choosing us. He didn't choose us because we were this or that or that or the other or good looking or this or that. He chose us because of his own love and desire. Amen. Toward us. Amen. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this again. That we should be holy Tell your neighbor, we should be holy. Now, we aren't all holy, but we should be. Every day of our lives, we should be holy, because we are not, the word says, we should be, which means that should be an ever-present scope of our desire to be holy, because God wants us to be holy. And notice this word, and without blame. I could stop there, but that would be impossible to live up to, because can't you see in this earth realm, even at your best, somebody don't like you? I mean, when you've not done anybody wrong, not misused, not abused, not said anything wrong, not looked at anybody wrong, there's still some folk who don't like you without a cause. So you're going to be blamed for something by somebody in the earth realm. But I'm so glad that it's not subject to man's approval. Look at this word. Blame before, without blame, before, without blame, before him. Now listen, that would be a terrible place still to be in, because he's an all-seeing, all-knowing, all-hearing God. So he sees what you do. He knows your thoughts. He sees your actions. He knows you're not perfect. And so for him to see it, the reality is he knows you at your worst more than man ever knows you. Man only can judge by what he sees, but God judges by what he knows. But listen at this. I'm glad it doesn't stop that in the word which says in him. I'm glad that the rest of this word is in the word. It's in verse. And it says in love. Now you see, here's where it's good for us, because he sees us at our worst, but he gives to us his best in his love. Do you know the Bible says love covers a multitude of faults, a multitude of sins? See, when you love like God loves, you don't look for the bad, you don't look for the weakness, you don't look for the mess, you don't look for the downtrodden, you don't look for the trouble, you don't look for the missed opportunity. You look for the heart. You look for the things that God himself looked for, and they're the inward parts of man. Because the Bible says all have sinned. I don't mean to bust your bubble this morning. I know you look wonderfully holy and pious this morning, but the word says you've sinned. And I'm not super holy, but I could promise you from last Sunday to this Sunday, you've sinned. Now, maybe you might not have sinned like the person on the side of you, but you can't judge them because you have. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. Just because the light of truth is coming on us here. We are not in a place to judge, but we are judged both by the world and the word. And God says we should be holy. Don't get scared to say, say holy. Say holy. Holy. That's what we should be. And blameless before him. Listen at this. In love.
That's right.
Now it's that part that in love that gives us an opportunity to get it right. Because we fall down, but we get back up again. And in love, God gives us that chance to get back up. We mess up, but God gives us a chance to straighten up what we messed up. We go on the wrong path, but God allows U-turns for us to get back on the right road. See, I'm trying to help somebody understand that no matter where you are, no matter what your situation is, God in his love allows you an opportunity to get it right. To get it right. To be holy means to align ourselves with God's word, his will, and his way. It is simple. He's given us everything sufficient to be holy and blameless in him. It's not all about you, but about him and what he's provided for you so that you can be more like him. Look at this word again, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It is the good pleasure of his will that we are in position today. It is God's will and before his will, his good pleasure. I like the combination of these two words, good pleasure. It's almost redundant, but it's important for you to see how God sees this thing. Listen again. Let's go verse 5. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein, verse 8, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will or his plan. God has made known to us the mystery of his plan. I just shared it with you in John 3:16. I just want you to recognize that God has revealed to those who accept his son what his plan is for their lives. And it's important for you to know the plan for yourself. Because when you know the plan, you're going to know that God has incorporated and included everything in the plan to get you from where you are to glory. And while yet here on earth, experience some heaven, and he has given you the privilege to bypass hell. Somebody's not hearing me here. I'm trying to help you to understand that though you're saved and yet may not be living sanctified, God wants you to process to the next level and recognize he's got better for you, waiting to release it for you if you would just get your act together. See, it's one thing to come and have good service on Sunday, but you can't live authoritatively on Monday. Something's wrong with that. When you always whining and crying as a victim and never as a shouting victor, overconquering all of the overcoming situations of your life, something's wrong when you can't live in the presence of God's power and learn how to speak those things that be not as though they were and condemn those things that are tearing you down and pulling you away from the perfect will of God. Listen at this, because I want you to see something and I want you to understand something. The Bible says again, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, again, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. The end result is everything that's going to be anything worth anything or have any value must come through Jesus Christ. Through the authorized person who has the power to ordain God's plan to be so in your life. One of the things that you need to recognize, because so many of us have this predestination and foreknowledge a little twisted and a little mixed up, and it almost seems like God from the foundation of the world has already picked and chosen only those he wants and has condemned others to hell. That is so unscriptural. Because if that were the case, then he would not be the God who has left wide open the opportunity for whosoever will. What we need to be clear about is, and I want to walk through scripture to help you understand, that's the reason why we're given the commission to preach the gospel throughout all this world. Because we do not know who will be saved, but what we do know is what God has given as a plan by which you can be saved. So I want you to see this, because one of the things that's so important is that it is the plan that is chosen for all believers. The plan. Somebody say the plan. Not the individual conformity of the individual to the plan, but the plan. He has predestinated the plan before the foundation of the world. And what's important about understanding that is that he has given an open invitation to whosoever will to be children of adoption. In other words, what he has said is, and this is the way you got to view it, because the invitation has been extended to whosoever will. And even when you come to that place where you recognize that you are a sinner who needs a savior, then he's making it clear that you can automatically accept the adoption plan that God has made for those who recognize, I need a